So now we've moved away, far from our glen and hill. We're on the ocean bound, for a new land yet still. I miss my people, I miss my place of birth. Yet sail with you, I will go to the ends of the earth. In 1817, Nova Scotia was home. St. Anne's and Bannockburn, Cape Breton Island we roam. And then we found ourselves in 1852. To sail again across the blue. South Seas land.
City lights smile on its face, and the full moon hangs over Dallas. And when I close my eyes, I feel sit here and plan all our dreams. Now that you're gone, who will I turn to? It's another lonely night of confusion. I can't stop thinking about you. Another lonely night of confusion. And as hard as I try, it's an endless goodbye. I remember the day I left you. I can still taste the tears from your eyes. And I lay awake night after night. I can't let go. God only knows why. It's another lonely night of confusion. I can't stop thinking about you.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the third day of August, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for tonight's broadcast is Hot Summer. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelites of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and again, pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And on that website, a couple pages that you should be aware of. The first, of course, is the Daily Mail page, where we put current events information about health, geopolitical activities, militia, home defense, people's rights, etc. Also on the home page is information on how you can help us out with a donation. And if you don't have my personal contact information, go to the Contact Us page, and you can get a hold of me through that. Didn't really prepare anything as far as a Bible study for tonight, so I apologize for that. Today was a, let's just say somewhat, I was in on a dead run from the time I got up, and I was in the weeds all day long. So broken air conditioners, having to make runs to stores, to the banks, and different things like that, helping neighbors out with problems. Then there was a militia meeting tonight, and I attended that, and different things such as that. So I do apologize, but got kind of caught off guard. I wasn't anticipating all of that. So not really going to go into any kind of a Bible study, but I am going to be talking about some of the things that have become obvious in the recent days as to the mental and spiritual condition of our people. So I think we're going to spend some time with that. Thank you, Ella. She says here that the sound is good, so that's great, and she approves of the topic, so that's great too. Yeah, it's a hot summer. For those of us down here in the subtropics of southern Florida, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The ultraviolet rays have been absolutely horrendous here lately. As soon as you step into the rays of the sun, you feel like you're being hit by a microwave energy weapon. And who knows, at this point in time, it could have been turned into a weapon against us. It's hard to say. And that's causing a whole lot of distress on people's immune systems, on their ability to stay cool. It's causing people to be angry. There's a lot more road rage. There's a lot more difficulty with relationships. So it's putting pressure on all of us. So it's not just the insanity of these cretins and miscreants that we call government officials, who are the powers that should not be, not only their stupidity and idiocy and treason that's causing heartache, but they're manipulating the weather. That's causing problems. And the fact that so many people are today still brain dead is causing some people to sort of get to depressed and feeling like it's a lost cause. I want people to understand something. It's never a lost cause. As long as any of us are still breathing, as long as any of us are still in the fight, it's never a lost cause. That's what the enemy wants you to think, so that you'll give up. Remember, Sun Tzu in the Art of War says that all war is deception. He talks about the fact that when you're weak, make your enemy think you're strong. And when you're strong, make your enemy think you're weak. Well, what's the enemy doing? They're trying to make it like we are the weak ones. We can't win, okay? That's the deception. They know they're on their way out. Even the Bible tells us that in the writings of our ancestors. It said that the anger of the Antichrist and his children would be great at the end of the age, because they know their time is short. And their time is short. The amount of people waking up to this Zionist takeover of the world is tremendous. Why else would they make so much of a clamor about getting legislation and putting out propaganda to cause us to be afraid to denounce Jews? They call it anti-Semitic actions or words, but it's really anybody that exposes the Jew is going to be called an anti-Semite. And it's a tactic they use. They admit to this. If people would just do the research, they would find out. Okay, Jews in recorded interviews have admitted it is a tactic of the Jew to use things like calling you a racist, a white supremacist, or an anti-Semite is a tactic to shut down truth-telling, or calling it even conspiracy theory, okay? That was Jews within the intelligence agencies that came up with that. And again, you know, people say, well, Dan, you seem to be talking a lot about the Jews, and, you know, maybe you're just anti-Jewish. Is it my fault that all the machinations and intrigues that are going on around the world happen to be done by Jews? Okay, so, but people are starting to realize that now, okay? In the beginning, the Jews tried to label us that, and it worked. But their dirty deeds are so nefarious and heinous and ugly today that even the normies are starting to wake up. And believe it or not, even the normies in the church world, if you can believe that one, with all of the mind-numbing propaganda that the Jews put out in regular programming, and then on top of it, the mind-numbing stupidity being preached behind the pulpits in the churches today, especially the Catholic Church, it's a wonder that anybody can think about anything rationally. But praise be to Yah, our Father, because people are seeing through it. Why? Because Yahweh told us that just before the hammer falls, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. What is his spirit? His spirit is of courage. His spirit is of truth and honesty and justice. Those are the things of the Almighty. That is the, quote, God within us. People with a good conscience. People who understand the moral issues of the day. They carry that nugget of divine spark within them. Because you are the temples, ladies and gentlemen. The temple of the Holy Spirit is your body. There is no temple made of stone this time around. The temple is our flesh, our bodies. And within that body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Unless you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit and denounced it, in which case you're a reprobate. And you should be afraid. You should have anxiety. You should be paranoid. You should be a schizophrenic. Okay? You deserve it. If you denounce the living God and his will and his plan for the ages, then you deserve everything you get. So I would say that people that are troubled with anxiety and depression, ask yourself, where are you in the big picture? Are you with the Savior or are you against him? Are you with the Father or are you against him? Are you with the sheep or are you with the goats? There's only two places to be at the end of this age. That's it. Just two. Every mortal person walking this earth has a decision to make. Which of those two camps do you want to be found in? The camp of the saints, the sheep, or the camp of the goats, the wicked, the evil, that will be thrown into the lake of fire, which is not literal, folks. Please, I can't tell you how many people take all that stuff in the Bible and they believe it to be literal, like burning in hell forever. Really? You think the Creator would actually enjoy watching a soul burning forever in hell? How about it's just a pictorial language being used to convey the idea that you're in eternal judgment? Meaning that you're probably going to have to come back to this world over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because you're just not getting it. You see, on the other side of the firmament is the reality. This detour that we've taken to spend time here in flesh bodies on this side of the firmament is for a purpose. We'll know more about that purpose when our memories come back to us and we go cross over the River Jordan to the other side, which is a, again, figurative way of saying we go back across the firmament in spiritual form. Okay, we don't remember that now. That memory has been erased from our memory banks because it would interfere with the plan here on earth. You are spiritual beings. Accept that. Accept the fact that one day we give up the ghost of these bodies. They're not meant to last forever. We give it up. But that's not the end. It's only another beginning. Just as your birth coming out of your mother down that canal, if you had memory of that, it'd probably terrify you. Being trapped in that dark place and not being able to see, and that tremendous trauma of coming down through the canal and through birth and all of that, it would probably traumatize you. That memory, I don't know anybody that has a memory of that. I'm sure there's a few souls out there that say they do, but I don't, and none of the people I know do. And I'm kind of glad I don't. I don't want to know about it. All I know is I did go through it, and my beautiful mother gave birth to me, and she was a wonderful mother my entire life. I was blessed to have absolutely beautiful parents in my day. I thought that was normal for all families, but I've come to find out in this ministry that my family was actually an exception. That is disturbing to me, to know that the fact that I had a loving relationship with my family, with my mother and my father, my brother and my sister, we looked out for each other, we loved each other, always cared about each other our entire lives. And as far as I know, there was never any sign of physical abuse, sexual abuse, any kind of abuse. Now, were my parents disciplinarians? Oh, yes. You better believe it. They were quick to dish out the punishment when we deserved it. However, they were also quick to hand out compliments, pats on the head, and hugs and kisses when you deserve that too. And let me tell you something. If you know that mom and dad are going to give you a reward for good behavior, it makes it easier to handle the punishment for bad behavior. You stepped out of line, there's a price to pay. Once you've paid the price, things go back to being much better. So our Heavenly Father's no different. We've got a job to do here on this earth. And yes, it's a rough job. If it were easy, anybody could do it. But just think about it. If you're one of his chosen, if you're part of the ecclesia, the called out ones, his elect for the latter days, the remnant, if you're part of that group, that means you're in high cotton. Okay? You have been chosen for a specific purpose to be accomplished at the end of this age. That's an honor. That's an honor. And if you think he's going to abandon you in that quest and in that duty that you have to do, you're crazy. No, he's not. And I like to point to the episode in my life when I first decided to put this radio show together, which was back in 1999. I remember there were quite a few folks, my friends, family members and all, that warned me not to do it. They said that you're going to be out there, you're putting yourself on the line, you're telling the truth, and there are powerful people that don't want the truth to be out there. And some of the family specifically named the Jews. They knew it. They knew it. That they were the ones behind the stuff going on. But they warned that they're powerful people. I said, well, so you're telling me then not to tell the truth? Not to resist? not to stand in the gap and try to prevent them from doing what they're doing, then they didn't know what to say. The point of it is, as General Stonewall Jackson was given credit for saying, duty is ours, consequences belong to God. In other words, it's your duty as a man or woman of Yahweh, a spiritual individual in this earth at this time, it is your duty to do what's right. It's actually a sin. It's a transgression, a sign of a lack of faith if you're going to sit around worrying about the consequences of doing the right thing. That's not a good thing. You're not supposed to do that. It's tough enough just figuring out what is the right thing to do in these days where it's a famine for the truth and we're swimming in an ocean of lies. It's difficult. But once you have done the homework and you reach the conclusions about what is really going on, that should simplify things. It's a simple matter of doing what is right. One of the things that you have to figure out, and I hope people are doing this today, is you have to figure out the right things to do for your health. Because we're in a very serious war right now for this earth between the wicked ones and the righteous. It is a war. Only one side can win. They are incompatible. They cannot occupy the same space at the same time. They cannot get along. They can't do it. One side or the other is going to win. And when you're in a war such as that, you need to be strong. You need to have your spiritual, mental, and physical capabilities at a maximum, not at a minimum. And so it behooves you to learn about health. That's why we spend so much time talking about natural health and the things that they've done to us to poison our minds and poison our bodies. They know what they're doing. It's not by accident. Oh, it's true. They make a lot of money by keeping us ill. But that isn't the primary objective, because that's just what they do. They learn how to make money no matter what they're doing. The prime objective of why the poisoning of us is so that we will be defeated, so that we are not strong to resist them. They don't want a strong warrior force to have to fight. That's why they're pushing all this racial tension right now, because they want a race war so that the races will knock each other out. I hope the other races understand that. I, of course, am talking to my brethren, the white race, primarily. But many of the things that we talk about here apply to the other races as well, because these creatures from hell want to enslave all of us. They want to eliminate the white race because the white race stands in their way. We've talked about this many times. That is a biblical concept. Adam was put here to tend the garden, to preserve it, and you preserve it by what? By enforcing God's law. They know that. I think the other races instinctively know it, but certainly the Jew knows it. And so the primary target for them will be the white race. And if you look at what's happened in the last 30 to 40 years, if you can't figure out that the white race is the target of these sons of bitches, then you're just dumber than a box of rocks. It's either that or you've accepted their blood money to betray your own kind. I suppose a third possibility is that you truly are that stupid, that you can't see it, that you're ignorant, and you wouldn't see if it was slapping you in the face. That could be. But the point of it is that many, many people are waking up, many people are seeing it, and many people are returning to their spiritual roots. They're coming back to the Father, which is exactly what the book of Malachi says, that Elijah was to be the prophet of the latter days, to bring the men in remembrance of their children, which is their descendants, but also to bring the men in fellowship with each other. Now, I know your English versions don't say that, but if you go to the Septuagint, that's what it's saying, and that makes perfect sense. So we men are supposed to come back into remembrance of what our obligations are to our families, our descendants, wives, children, etc. But we're also to remember that we are to look out for and take care of each other, a band of brothers, adelphos in the Greek language, a band of racial brothers. Now, there can be bands of black men looking out for each other, bands of brown and yellow men looking out for each other. That's fine. That's fine. But the Adamic race was put here with a specific job to do, and Satan's children are hell-bent on trying to prevent them from doing it. I mean, that should be obvious to anybody. Okay? So, you know, anytime somebody tries to shame you, they use shaming language to denounce what you're saying, everything, that's a surefired sign that you're on the right track. Okay? Just think about that. Ella says here that the fence belongs to Satan. Yeah. I can remember years ago, this would be about 1998 through 2000, there were times I would get into some online chats with different groups. People were starting to talk about the abuse of government and things like that. And every now and then we'd have a black person or an Arab person, and occasionally even a Jewish person that would come into the discussion. And the one thing I noticed is, when I would bring up things about the Constitution, history, the white race, etc., I never got into a fiery argument with anybody except Jews. Black people might say something like, well, you know, it doesn't sound very nice what you're saying. I said, well, nice has nothing to do with it. What I'm saying is true. Well, yeah, it's true, but it's not nice. I said, well, I really don't care if you don't like what I'm saying. And I would say the same thing to Arab people, but they typically didn't give me a hard time. And sometimes feminists would come on, and they were usually behaved themselves. But the Jews, not so much, at least the ones that called into these different chats. They would start out relatively rational, relatively calm, and trying to present themselves as intellectuals. And what I came to find out was that is a ruse that they do, because so many people turn off the questioning attitude if the person sounds like they're, quote, educated or credentialed. Well, I personally don't give any credibility to credentials or education of people. I go by what they say and who they are. And so I would get into the Jewish person's face and tell them that they were full of crap and they're liars. And I noticed if I did not back down, there was a point when they just completely went berserk. And they would start throwing out the F-bombs, cussing and swearing like a drunken sailor. That's when you know you got them. Well, take a look at the behavior of Jews today. They're behaving like drunken sailors. they're saying outlandishly false things. The make-believe of the fake news that they control, etc. They are insane in their stupidity and the obnoxious things that they're pushing and trying to sell to the public. Now, there's a few brain-dead and soulless creatures out there that might be buying into their bullshit stories, but a vast majority of people are starting to shake their heads. And say, where did all this crap come from? And then you find out it's Jewish money and Jewish names behind almost all of it. And they're starting to figure it out. And this is what upsets the Jews. Because they succeed working in the dark. And they like to stay in the dark by making discussions of them and what they're doing verboten or outlawed. So keeping people afraid to even talk about Jews and what they're up to helps them stay in the shadows and get away with their nefarious deeds. So with the internet and the fact that people are starting to get their courage and men are starting to become lions again, they're not able to get away with it like they used to. And now it's time for them to panic. I had a friend of mine in New Jersey many years ago. He was listening to an AM radio station, and the host of this AM radio station, I believe it was out of Philadelphia, and he was Jewish, and he had a Jewish rabbi that he was talking to. And the Jewish rabbi basically said, yes, I'm telling my congregations that they should prepare to leave the United States in the near future. And again, this was like 20 years ago. And the guy said, well, why is that? He said, because the goyim are waking up. The goyim are figuring out what we're doing. And we all know what happens when the people realize what the Jews have done to their country. It's happened in history 109 times that countries, particularly white nations, woke up to what the Jews were doing and threw them in prison or exiled them from their lands. 109 times. Now, the Jew wants you to think it's just because they're Jews. That's what they tell you. When the truth of the matter is, it's what they do that gets people pissed off that they end up throwing them out of their countries. Okay? Now, you take a look at the Christian Constitutional Republic known as the United States of America, and as Jews have risen in power and finance, what has our country become? Better? Or a cesspool? And again, all you have to do is look. Like today, there was a discussion in the militia group about Jerry Nadler saying or doing something. He's a Jew. Peter Strzok, he's a Jew. Nancy Pelosi, a Jew. Her husband, a Jew. Chuckie Schumer, a Jew. Okay, Rachel Maddow, a Jew. Many of the talk show hosts and many of the quote, mainstream broadcasters, all Jews. Okay. The people that run the corporations that sit on top of the media in this country, like CNN and all these different organizations, the top levels of management are all Jewish. Now, you could say, well, Dan, you sound anti-Jewish. Well, is that actually anti-Jewish, or is it just simply stating a fact? I mean, if you had an alien invasion, let's say a bunch of spaceships showed up on the horizon, and all of a sudden you looked around and every corporation, all your media, your medical establishment, your government, your schools, you see these aliens. And after a while you're sitting there going, wait a minute, everywhere I look, it's aliens. Wouldn't that be cause for alarm? Because the aliens are not going to do what's good for you. They're going to do what's good for aliens. Well, that's why the Jews set about with, quote, race relations. That was their ploy. They're the ones that came up with that one. We're going to have race relations. And that started back in the 1970s. Well, all race relations was a tool for them to create white guilt. It was also a tool for them to get the other races to look at white people as their problem. Now, what's interesting is when the Jews were responsible for the things that caused these other races to be upset, they were quite happy to let these other races think that these nefarious creatures doing the bad acting were white people when in fact they were Jews. For instance, the feminist movement was completely Jewish. Jewish money and Jewish women. Okay? So, and you can look at many other things. La Raza, started by Jews. The NAACP, started by Jews. And to this day, pretty much run by Jews. All kinds of outlets and so-called for the public good, like NPR and different things like that. And you find out they're all run by these same people. And they're not for our good. They've infiltrated all the governments of the world, so all the governments of the world, man-made government, is not our friend, folks. If you did away with man-made government, crime would almost disappear. I know for a fact terrorism would disappear because they are the terrorists. Mass murder of innocent people would disappear. Our wars would disappear. These huge standing armies that got nothing better to do than bomb and murder people around the world, they would disappear. That's just a fact. I had a friend of mine one time, this was back in the 1970s, and he had come out of the Navy, I'd just come out of the Air Force, and we got talking about this, why we have all these wars. Back then, of course, it was the Vietnam War that we were talking about, and we were discussing ways to end war, and he made a comment, I still remember it. He said, there's one thing we could do and we could end all war. And I said, well, what's that? He said, every contractor and every government official that's associated with the war gets paid in script. In other words, documents for that singular purpose. Nobody would get paid in this particular form of money except these people that are part of the war effort. He said, and what you do is at the end of the war, you go find all the people with the most script in their bank accounts and you execute them. He said, then we would have no more war. In other words, find the people that are benefiting financially from warfare, eliminate them, and your wars will go away. Now, some people would say, well, Dan, that sounds kind of like, you know, violent. Well, when you consider what the communists have done in this world, just the communists now, how many innocent souls have been murdered, raped, robbed, tortured, enslaved by governments? By these same monsters that make money at doing these things to us? Do you think they feel bad about what they've done to you and me and our children and our relatives and our friends over these years? To the tune of possibly as many as 150 to 200 million souls? And we're not even counting the people that have been killed by the vaccines, killed by medical malpractice. No, we're not even counting them. We're just counting the souls directly related to, quote, warfare. These monsters have killed many of us with other things, whether it's weather, medicines, drugs, bad practices in the medical community, whatever. I've lost quite a few relatives to the iatrogenic death, which is a term, you can look it up in your dictionary. Iatrogenic just means death by malpractice, basically. Death due to incompetent medical people, whether procedurally or with pharmaceuticals. And, by the way, death by doctor, iatrogenic death, is the leading cause of death in almost every first world country. So the very people you think are saving lives are actually responsible for the most deaths. That's ahead of all disease and everything else, which are, in many cases, capable of being dealt with by natural method, but by the pharmaceutical companies and the medical, which are in bed together, these diseases have taken many lives. Just food for thought, as we're pondering this hot summer we find ourselves in here with all of the consternation, all of the anxiety, all of the depression, all of the fighting that's going on. I hear young people going down the road here by where I live, and they'll be on their phones, and they're screaming at whoever's on the other end. Don't you effing do this. You hung up on me. I mean, I don't think I've heard a pleasant conversation on a phone in a long time. Everybody's angry. Everybody's in their cars. And the number of people in cars looking at flat screens is causing me concern every time I go out in my automobile. It's like, are you kidding me? Okay. So it is a crazy world. But all the more reason why you and I, our job at this time is to be the leaders for our people, which means you have to be a buoy in the storm. You have to be a touchstone, as Ella would say. You have to be a touchstone. You have to be a anchor point for these souls that are in this tempestuous storm, which means you have to be rock solid as much as humanly possible. You have to stay calm. You have to be able to think rationally, because they're going to be operating out of a state of fear, and that is a dangerous place to be. The enemy wants that, because they know that people in a state of fear are easily persuaded and easily manipulated. So in order to fight this war, you have to do the opposite. You have to fight their attempt to make everybody befuddled and afraid, giving them confidence and truth. When they're feeling bad, I turn them towards the naturopathic ways and put them in contact with good naturopathic doctors. Now, they don't have to do it. And I tell them, if you want, just find out what the naturopath says and then go talk to your doctor and discuss it. And then you figure out what you want to do, because after all, your health is your responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. It's not anybody else's. It's just not. If you have believed that, then you're a fool. Just like when you stand before the Father on Judgment Day. Do you think somebody else is going to be up there with you? I got news for you. You're going to be up there all by yourself. And if you think that some of us on this earth are intimidating, can you imagine standing in front of our Heavenly Father, who is way above any of us? We can't even comprehend Him. Can you imagine standing before Him and having to give an account? You have nobody beside you. There's nobody you can point to and blame, because He's going to be looking right at you. What did you do with the life I gave you? What did you do with the talents and gifts that I gave you? Did you create anything? Did you have any good works at all? Or did you go along with the herd and just aid and abet the destruction of my beautiful earth? Did you aid and abet the poisoning of the people of this world? Did you aid and abet the destruction of the natural world, the forests, the rivers, the animals, the plants? Did you make it a better world, or did you assist in making it more of a cesspool? That's what your future has for you, folks. I know you get all bent out of shape about this world, but this world's temporary, at best. Temporary. Whether you're really loving it or you're really hating it, it's temporary. Even Messiah himself often spoke of that. Why are you so concerned over the things of this world, which is not bad? But why are you so concerned about this world, and yet you give so little concern about where you're going to spend a very long time when you leave here? You're only here for a flash in the pan. And I can attest to that. I've been on this earth for 69 years. I can't believe it. I still shake my head every day I get up. How long have I been here? Holy cow! Where the hell did that time go? Now the good news, I don't feel my age. I actually feel like I'm going to be here for quite a bit more. Mostly because my father taught me as a young man to take care of my health. I still remember the day he told me that. He said, Danny, no amount of money on this earth can get your health back to you if you lose it. It's up to you. You take care of yourself. You take care of your health. I wish my father had followed his own advice a little better, and my mother. Sadly, they broke that rule. But then again, they were listening to trusted voices they should not have been listening to. They trusted government sources. They trusted doctors, especially Jewish ones. I tried to warn them, but I didn't have a PhD behind my name or an MD or any of the other, quote, credentials that create the trusted voices. I was just a son that did a lot of research and a lot of soul searching and a lot of digging. So what do I know? The beautiful thing is, though, like the Father says, if you'll do what I tell you, if you'll do the right things, there's a blessing that comes. What do you think that blessing is? I sleep well every night. By eating and drinking the things I should, my body has gone to its natural weight all by itself. I didn't have to count calories. I don't have to go down and get on a treadmill. I don't have to get a Planet Fitness membership. I don't have to do any of that. Every day I get up, I can jump into the same clothes. They fit better. I feel better. Can go out and work all day. I can tolerate hot and cold better. Why? Because the body is able to do these things if you take care of it. Your body can do that. The problems that people are having are symptoms of not taking care of the body. One thing about it, when you study the body's mechanisms, its systems, like I did when I went to the natural health school, as they taught the classes on what the body is capable of, you just sat there in total awe. What a miracle. What a sure-fired proof of the existence of a creator with this absolutely miraculous thing called a human body. It is astounding. And we have only scratched the surface of knowledge of what the body is and what it can do. And yet what we know proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have a Creator Father. There's intelligent design behind us being here. There is no way in hell you and I are here by accident. Life is pretty simple, folks. Man mucks up the works and makes it complicated because there's power and money involved. Because unscrupulous men and women want money and power and to lord over other people. Evil, in other words. But the truth of the matter is that we as free men and women on the land in the image of the Almighty, we don't need them. That's the message I'm here to tell you. You don't need man-made governments, folks. And I've told you everything out there that's been centralized, whether it's centralized banking, centralized government, centralized medicine, centralized media, everything centralized is evil. Yahweh wants true diversity. He wants men and women to think for themselves. He wants them to take care of themselves, be responsible for themselves, and to have a diverse mechanism for learning and for getting information, not centralized. He wants governance at the local level, all the way down to the individual. That's where governance is, not at the top of the pyramid with these oligarchs and these monsters in shoe leather. That's not his design. That's their design. So again, you have a choice, ladies and gentlemen. Are you going to be with the sheep or are you going to be with the goats? It's almost crunch time. You can feel it building up. Make that decision quickly. Stay strong, think like a warrior and not a survivor, and do not fall for the lies and deceptions. And it is time for our men especially to be lions and not sheep. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to use this platform yet and to reach out to our brothers and sisters. We ask that you would bless their hearts. Those that love you and love truth and honesty and justice in this world, bless them mightily, Father. Give them strong hearts and strong minds. If they're struggling with anything, help them over it and send them angels to minister unto them. For the wicked out there, Father, we know their time is short. We do not pray for them any longer. I don't pray for their repentance. I don't pray for them in any way, shape, or form except in precatory prayer. I pray a curse in the name of Yahweh El Shaddai, the Almighty. I pray a curse upon the head of every wicked soul on this earth. I pray they burn with paranoia, schizophrenia. I pray every form of malady would afflict their bodies. I pray that all of their misdeeds would become public and shine in the daylight instead of hiding in the dark. I pray that the righteous rise up with righteous indignation, that men are willing to take up the sword and go after the wicked, and give them the true justice that your word demands. I pray for all those that are seeking truth, that they find it. For those that need fellowship, that they also find that. that we as a family would come back together and look out for each other and go forward in triumph against this wicked and evil world. Watch over us and guide us, Father Yahweh. Help us to do thy will upon this earth as it is in heaven. Give us good discernment. Give us a heart of compassion for those who struggle. And give us righteous indignation against those who do evil upon the innocents of this world. We pray for your coming to be soon and for you to sit upon the throne that only you have the right to sit on and be our King, our King of Kings, as it should have been all along. We do repent of ever establishing man-made government. Help us to rid ourselves of this plague upon all mankind and get back under the theology of your law as it should have been. Forgive us our sins, guide us always, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah.
By law, a landlord can become the ghost of every crofter's home. By law, their little cots can be dark dens of dirt and misery. Can law be law when based on wrong? Can law be law when for the strong? Can law be law when landlords stand representing mankind of the land?
By law, their daughters, sons, and wives are doomed for slavish, drudgery lives. All food-producing glens are changed from farms to cattle pens. This is your law, where have I a few, are shielded in the deeds they do. By law.
Well, a Scotsman clad in kilt left the bar one evening fair, and one could tell by how he walked that he'd drunk more than his share. He fumbled round until he could no longer keep his feet, and he stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io. He stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. About that time two young and lovely girls just happened by. One says to the other with a twinkle in her eye, see yon sleeping Scotsman so strong and handsome built. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt. Ring ding diddle little laddie-o, ring da diddly i-o. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt. They crept up on that sleeping Scotsman quiet as could be, lifted up his kilt about an inch so they could see, and there behold for them to view beneath his Scottish skirt was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. Ring ding diddle little adio, ring da diddly io, was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. They marveled for a moment, then one said, we must be gone. Let's leave a present for our friend before we move along. As a gift they left a blue silk ribbon tied into a bow. Around the bonny star the Scots kilt did lift and show. Ring ding diddle little adio, ring da diddly io. Around the bonny star the Scots kilt did lift and show. Now the Scotsman woke to nature's call and stumbled towards the trees. Behind the bush he lifts his kilt and gawks at what he sees. And in a startled voice he says to what's before his eyes, oh, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first prize. Ring ding diddle little adio. Ah, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first
Scotland, the land we love the most.
Communism is dead, they said. I think they lied. It's truth they hide. Poor still survives in the good old USA. Eh? Right here it lives and here it breathes and feeds upon our liberties. And you have the nerve to say it's not that way? Well, they're taking the patriots away, ha-ha. They're taking the patriots away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the prison camp, where life's unbearable all the time. And I'll be happy to see my patriot friends again as they shackle me in. And they're taking the patriots away, ha-ha. Here come Jack Boo, the thugs in black, to smash your doors and stomp your cat, to roust you out in the late, late hours of the night. Wrong. At 3 a.m. they scream and shout and scatter your living room about. With threats of death they swear as they tear up your rugs. For guns! They're taking the patriots away, ha-ha. They're taking the patriots away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the prison camps, where life's unbearable all the time. And you shouldn't shoot back at those men in black with their ski masks on and their weapons drawn. Cause they're taking the patriots away, ha-ha. Twisting thread shall stretch and snap, the straw shall break the camel's back, and tables when they turn shall bring a swift end. Friend, yes, things divine can wrench and bend the well-laid plans of mice and men, and when they do, what will you traitors do then? When? We'll be taking the traitors away, ha-ha, we'll be taking the traitors away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the prison camps, where a cell's been awaiting them all this time, and I'll be happy to see their face in its proper space, filling jail space, as we're taking you traitors away, ha-ha. To the prison camps, they've quietly built so recently, and won't they look cute in their prison suit, and their shackles on, just shuffling along, as we're taking the traitors away, ha-ha. Where there's jobs for you in that human zoo, and you work all day without any pay. But that's okay, there's nothing to buy in there anyway, and we're taking you traitors away, ha-ha! And won't they feel dumb as they see us come to round up the rest of them one by one as we're taking the traitors away, ha-ha!
A long time ago when the earth was green, there was more kinds of animals than you'd ever seen. They'd run around free while the earth was being born. But the loveliest of them all was the unicorn. There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, the loveliest of all was the unicorn. Now God seen some sinning, and it gave him pain. And he says, stand back, I'm going to make it rain. He says, hey, brother Noah, I'll tell you what to do. Build me a floating zoo, and take some of them
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget my unicorn.
Old Noah was there to answer the call. He finished up making the ark just as the rain started falling. He marched in the animals two by two, and he called out as they went through, hey Lord, I got you green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn. Then Noah looked out through the driving rain. Them unicorns were hiding, playing silly games, kicking and splashing while the rain was pouring. Oh, them silly unicorns.
It was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees.
Noah cried, close the door, 'cause the rain is pouring, and we just can't wait for no unicorn. The ark started moving, it drifted with the tide. Then unicorns looked up from the rocks and they cried. And the waters came down and sort of floated them away. And that's why you never seen a unicorn to this very day. You'll see
green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpty-backed camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you're never gonna see no unicorn.
craft for my country, for the pain that it's been through. She's been made to suffer for the profit of a few. Storm clouds are out forming, winds of change now touch our shores. I hear forefathers are crying as the dream's been cruised to America.
America, I show my love for thee with strength and loyalty. America, I show my love for you in all that I do.
All that I do. I pray for my country and for friends and family. Mourning in the ignorance, while staying safe within a dream. I will fight for freedom, and a way to liberty. I die for my country, slaying corporate dynamite. Tragedy. I just want some answers
so the truth will set us free. And the truth will set us free. I say
to the God who reigns on high. Give me new courage, won't let anything hurt me as I sing to him my song. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song. Shout as I rise in the clouds on the day my Lord returns. Sit at his table and drink of salvation and praise his holy name. I'll dance around heaven with Moses and Aaron and proclaim what God has done. So be gone all your troubles and all of your devils, 'cause Jesus, he's my song. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. I will trust, I will not.